I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
100 years ago today, Walter Tull was killed in action in the First World War. While not a name that immediately springs to mind when we think of people that influenced our game the most over the years, Tull was a pioneer. We first profiled him back in November of 2009, and with increasing calls for him to be recognised posthumously for his services both to football and the military, we thought it would be nice to re-release his entry into our Hall of Fame from 9 or so years ago. His story is incredible, and his contribution to football and society in general can never be underestimated. Here's the profile.
But it is profile time, of course, and recently we had Remembrance Day, and people were wearing the poppies in and around Britain and so on. And I was looking through the history books and seeing players who were in the army as well. And one just leapt out at me. And, ladies and gentlemen, I bring to the table Walter Tull. Now, you might not have heard of this man, but he was the first black officer in the British Army, but the second black player ever to play in the top division of the Football League.
Brilliant.
In this country. So quite a magnificent man already.
Pioneer.
He liked shooting.
He did.
Yeah.
Good. I see what you've done there, Pete. So here we go. Walter Tull, born in Folkestone in Kent, on the 28th of April, 1888.
79 years before the Summer of Love.
My giddy aunt.
That would also make him the first black man to join the British Army, playing the top division in English football and win the sperm race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable stuff.
Well, he wasn't the first one to play in the top division of the Football League. He was the second one.
Well, he did bloody well, Mark.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I'll thank you not to take that away from him.
But, he's a gold medalist in my eyes. So, yeah, he was born in Folkestone, as we say, and his father was the son of a slave and had arrived from Barbados in 1876, but he'd married a girl from Kent. He had a tough upbringing. His parents died when he was young, and he moved when he was very young to Bethnal Green in East London, of course. But after finishing school, he played a lot of football, and he had a trial at Clapton, who were an East London amateur club. And by the beginning of the 1908-1909 season, he was playing for their first team. And he was a talented inside forward. And Clapton had a very successful season. They won the Amateur Cup, the London Senior Cup, the London County Amateur Cup. And the local paper, the Football Star, said they praised Tull's clever footwork and described him as being the catch of the season. And because of this, Tottenham Hotspur came knocking, and he decided that he wanted to join them. So Tull was signed by Tottenham Hotspur, and as we said, he was only the second black man to play professional football in Britain. The first was Arthur Warden, of course, and I think Andrew Watson was the first ever black man to play football, but he was not professional, he was semi-pro. In May 1909, Walter Tull and Tottenham Hotspur went on a tour of South America. It's crazy to think that back then.
Yeah. Must have taken them ages to get there.
Well, yeah, exactly. but they did, and they played games in Argentina and Uruguay. So he was the first black player ever to play football in South America.
Oh, that's mental.
That's amazing.
Yeah. As far back
so
as
they didn't even have leagues in 1909.
Oh, well,
Brazil didn't have a proper professional top division until like 1970s, I mean.
Yeah, mental. No. Absolutely.
They had won two World Cups, Brazil, or three, I think, before they got a proper organised nationwide league. That's a fact.
Incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. it's quite in a letter he wrote to a friend of his when he was out there. He said that he was suffering from sunstroke, and he complained that none of the waiters spoke English. So without
abroad.
Well, absolutely, without a doubt, this man's British credentials cannot be questioned. But he was given considerable praise for his early performances. Playing for Tottenham, the Daily Chronicle said that Tull's display against Manchester United must have astounded everyone who saw it. Such perfect coolness and such clinical waiting for a fraction of a second in order to get a pass in before the defender has worked to a false position, and such accuracy in the strength of passing. And during the first half, Tull, I love how the journalist puts this, he said, during the first half, Tull just compelled Curtis, who was one of his teammates, to play a good game. For Curtis, who was the outside right, was plied with such a series of passes that it made it almost impossible for him to do anything other than well.
That's class.
So, I mean, getting these kind of write-ups back in the day, you know, he was much more ahead of his time, Walter Tull. And against a game at Bradford City on October the 4th, 1909. I mean, 1909.
Yeah.
You know, the Daily Chronicle wrote that he was a class superior to that shown by the rest of his colleagues. Unfortunately, against there was an infamous match that Tottenham had against Bristol City in October 1909, and he was the target of racial abuse from the home supporters. Now, of course, back in those days, when we're talking serious, you know, the racism was unfortunately
widespread, I suppose.
A norm, really. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're not even talking 50s here, we're talking 1909, for crying out loud. One of the journalists from the Football Star wrote, quite angry, "Let me tell those Bristol hooligans that Tull is so clean in mind and method as to be a model for all white men who play football, the best forward on the field."
Mm.
However, this incident at Bristol embarrassed some of the Spurs officials. So what did they do? Well, in their impudent wisdom, they dropped Walter Tull to the reserves.
Oh.
Cutting off the problem at the spot.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we
head into the grave, so they blame the hearse.
Well, he made only three more appearances for the first team, which was a crying shame. He scored 10 goals in 27 league games with the reserves, but he got a bit fed up of his lack of first team appearances. And in February 1911, he came to the attention of Northampton Town Football Club when Northampton were beaten 7-1 by Spurs in the reserve team fixture, and Tull scored a hat-trick. And he was later transferred which was described as a heavy transfer fee, to Northampton Town in the Southern League. And he was signed by Herbert Chapman.
Oh,
he's in the Dean Windows Hall of Fame.
There you are, you see. They all know each other, innit?
Yeah.
You know, they're
like an old boys' club.
Well, exactly.
They're getting a bit too big for their boots, actually, I must say.
well, Dean Windows is here to...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And, of course, we know Chapman went on to manage Huddersfield and Arsenal and so on and so forth. Tull scored four goals in one match once playing inside forward for Northampton Town. And he played over 100 games for Northampton as a wing half. I'm sure we can all relate to that position.
Yeah.
Other clubs wanted to sign Walter Tull. In 1914, Glasgow Rangers started negotiations with Northampton Town. However, before he could play for them, First World War was declared. And Tull, being the magnificent man he was, immediately abandoned his career and offered his services to join the British Army. Now, military rules had initially prevented black people joining white regiments, But Tull, like a lot of other professional football players, he joined the football battalion.
Yeah, famous.
Absolutely. Mm. The army soon recognised Tull's leadership qualities, and he was quickly promoted to rank of sergeant. Mm. So not only has he smashed down the rules of no black men joining white regiments, they've put him to sergeant, his qualities. Yeah. You know.
That wasn't allowed back then, was it? You weren't allowed to hold a certain station in the British Army if you were a black guy.
Well, that's right. Well, he did so well in battle that senior officers recommend that he should be given further promotion. So he had officer training. He became an officer in the army, which went completely in the face of the military regulations, which forbidded any person of as it states here, any person of colour to become an officer. So he became the first black combat officer in the British Army, which is absolutely incredible. And as Phil Vasili has pointed out, and he wrote the book Colouring Over the White Line, which is all about the history of black footballers in Britain. He said, according to the manual of military law, black soldiers of any rank were not desirable. During the First World War, military chiefs of staff, with government approval, argued that white soldiers would not accept orders by men of colour, and on no account should black soldiers serve on the front line.
Different world.
Walter Tull, awful. He just, boom, yeah. Just smashed it, kicked the door down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in fact, he was massively endorsed by all the other sergeants and all the other higher-ranking officers. They want him in because they recognised his quality. Unfortunately, on March the 25th, 1918, Walter Tull was ordered to lead his men on an attack on the German trenches, and he died at the age of just 29, which was absolutely, a real big shame. And a lot of his men actually made valiant efforts under heavy fire from German machine guns to try and save him, you know, because they loved him, absolutely loved him. The man was, held in such high esteem. And so, at the age of 29, he died. But what an amazing story of, here was this orphaned black guy from East London who was a top amateur footballer, then a top professional footballer, and then a top officer in the army. I mean, yes. Absolutely incredible story. And the road which runs behind the North Stand at Sixfield Stadium, where Northampton Town play, is named Walter Tull Way. And in 2004, Tottenham Hotspur and Rangers contested the Walter Tull Memorial Cup.
Brilliant.
And Rangers won 2-0. Plans are underway to make a film about his life. And two films have been made for Teachers TV, which is focusing on the teaching about Walter Tull, and that was launched in May 2008. And on Sunday, the 11th of July, 1999, Northampton Town unveiled a memorial to Walter Tull in a dedicated Garden of Remembrance at Sixfield Stadium. The epitaph was written by Phil Vasili, who, as I said, was the author of Colouring Over the White Line, History of Black Footballers in Britain, which is my book of the week. The inscription reads, through his actions, Tull ridiculed the barriers of ignorance that tried to deny black people equality with their contemporaries. His life stands testament to a determination to confront those people and those obstacles that sought to diminish him and the world in which he lives. It reveals a man, though rendered breathless in his prime, whose strong heart still beats loudly today.
Welcome,
Walter Tull.
What a worthy entrant.
Absolutely.
Excellent stuff.
I'm sure Dean would agree.
Yeah.
If he hadn't gone off to go and do some Ubering.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
and Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.